2 seconds.
Probably next week. I'd like to call the Order of Town of Brule Committee meeting for February 4th, 2019. Mr. Neesler, can you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Daigle?
Here.
Councilmember Bourgeois?
Here.
Councilmember Richard?
Here.
Councilmember Andre?
Here.
Councilmember Neesler?
Here.
Attorney Acosta?
Here.
Mayor Rhodes?
Here. Thank everybody for coming tonight. First thing on our agenda is review minutes for our regular meeting on January 14th, We reviewed those. Anybody have any changes or any additions or subtractions, let us know. We can change that for our regular meeting next week. We'll move on to committee reports. Public Works Committee, project updates, let me find my... Left mine out.
I got it.
All right, total rainfall for January, we had 4 events for 3.3 inches, no drainage problems that were reported. We did receive information, our LGAAP grant was approved. It was approved for less than what we had budgeted for. They approved it for $19,400. We plan on using that grant to coat 12 to 15 manholes. So that's a good thing, we didn't get that last year. We installed dead-end signs at the end of the cross streets on Ori, Red Oak, White Oak, Pin Oak, and Black Oak. We started putting some new decorative street signs out on South LeBeau, West St. Francis. We had a few skate alarms due to a faulty check valve, that's been resolved. No personnel incidents, no out of compliance at the treatment facility. We did have somewhat of an emergency, a pump went out at our South LeBeau lift station last week, this caused us some issues. Just to let you guys know, our new pump, around $3,000. We do have some that you were going to talk to Roy about rebuilding, so...
I just sent it to him.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that, so we'll have to replace that pump. So that was a surprise that we weren't ready for. Rusty made a comment last week about DOTD and not striping on the east side of the railroad tracks on St. Francis Street, so we called them and they told us it would be 8 weeks, and they did it today. And that's only been about a week, so kudos to DOTD for jumping on that real quick. We appreciate that. So that's, the striping's there. Republic Bulk Pickup is scheduled for February the 11th, and then the Town of Brule's extra pickup is scheduled for February 22nd. So that's our Public Works update for January.
How old was that pump? Does that have anything to do with it, the age?
I'm not sure, Ms. Bourgeois, how old it is. If the bearings is going out in there, I might be able to get it refurbished, but we're going to look at buying it as well.
Thank you.
They were working on South LeBeau today, right?
Yes, we were. We put another pump in down the well, I just don't have it back up.
Anybody else? Okay, discuss road overlay. We met with Roy, we have budgeted $160,000 at a meeting a couple weeks ago. We talked about what streets we wanted to do, and everyone kind of suggested we follow the list that we had and overlay the older street on our list. We did discuss Orleans Quarters, and Orleans Quarters is probably the worst street we have in town, so I had a meeting with Roy just a few minutes ago to do Courtney, Abear, Gwynn, and Orleans, which is what we had kind of wanted to do, comes to $266,000. That's using a number that Roy seems to think is going to be the right number, but...
That's just an estimate.
Yeah, and so 266 is the minimum amount that'll cost us to do all those streets. That includes a very small layer on Courtney, because Courtney is really not bad, but it is the oldest one. To break it down, just so you guys know, this is estimates now. Courtney is $50,000, Abear is $37,000, Gwen is $55,000, and Arlene's Quarters is $125,000.
On Arlene's Quarters, that's the middle section and...
That's the back section.
All the back section?
Is our ordinance up to spec on the roads, new construction, that road go up mighty quick?
Yeah, it did.
Well, we need to, Raymond Luke mentioned to me one time that, you know, Alexander really needs to upgrade their ordinance to put a thicker layer or something to start off with.
Yeah, well, Roy, you want to go ahead and answer that about testing the soil like we talked about a minute ago?
The biggest concern is for a developer to do it right, or anybody to do a road right, you need to have a soil company, geotechnical company come in and take soil boring along that length to know what your material is in the ground, because the soil's different up here at the river than it is way back there at the back in Orleans Quarter.
Yeah.
If you don't know what the material is, and you don't set up a design to prepare that material properly, you don't know what you're going to get. Right now, what Raymond Luke's most probably telling you is that you got a standard spec that says, let's soil cement a foot deep or 18 inches deep with 7% lime or soil cement for an inch and a half of asphalt. Well, that design, depending on the material that you put the soil cement with, is going to be good for a certain load. Your streets are fine for residential traffic only, but the problem is the developer comes in, he puts a residential street in, and for the next 4 to 5 years, you've got unbelievable construction loads of concrete trucks,
yeah,
10 and 20 of them at a time, and 18-wheel loads of wood that's built, you know, doing it. Man, those roads just aren't made for that much load.
We just discussed this right before our meeting, and we talked about that. Maybe we can sample that soil back there. Before we do this project, it would cost us a little extra to do that, but I mean, it would be worth it in the long run. Arlene's Quarters is one of the newer streets, and it's the worst one.
Right,
so I understand you. Yeah, so that's...
We need to bring up...
Yeah.
You can put the soil back there that's worse than it is up front. Mm-hmm. This front, Bruley with history and the overflow of the Mississippi River, had good soil. That part of Bruley used to be the swamp. And you just slowly dug drainage ditches and dried it up, and it's a terrible soil condition in that area.
So,
did
we have any verification once the developer laid that particular road that they did it accordingly?
I'd have to go back and look.
I mean, I think now we have something in place, correct? Is that what the surveyor would kind of do on the project, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily, because this is kind of testing the soil before, so they'll know what to do. So the surveyor is just going to follow what our ordinance says.
Yeah.
So,
but do we have a check and balance to make sure that was done? You know, I had mentioned.
I'm pretty sure that. I mean, I don't know. We'd have to pull the old meeting minutes up and see. And I know we approved the final plat, but whether it was done and the specs were all.
Yeah, because I mentioned about a year ago about I think there's a 2 year.
The ordinance requires one.
It's 1 year. Okay, yeah. So I think the issue was to consider extending that, because it was less than a year, right after a year, when that one started to fail the first time. So yeah. they came in, laid it, and if they can get away with what they can get away with, naturally they're saving money. So
we talked to Roy. Roy said a lot of towns are doing 5 years now.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
So
is that how they get around back to sequential phase developments and then road getting torn up, but being put in to a certain minimal level, and then they do, like you say, all the heavy traffic.
No, look, the developer's all about his money. He's only developed.
That's right.
What he's going to get built and get his back money on his return on his investment.
Roger that.
So when he does the whole thing, that's too far of an investment, he'll never get his money. That's why they piece it.
Yeah.
No, I understand that, but how do we protect ourselves? Is it by extending the bond period out to 5 years?
Bond, or make sure you got an adequate street design. Somebody puts some effort into it. Your standard design, everybody does it all over the state, in and around Baton Rouge. Everybody specs the city of Baton Rouge spec. An inch and a half of asphalt on so much lime. You don't design streets that way. You don't design a building that way.
So each street should be designed specifically for the soil that's underneath it?
Soil's under there.
It's compounded.
Look what they're doing at the school. The school went in there, they did some geotechnical work, they knew what kind of school they wanted to build, they heard the story, they would haul a bunch of dirt in there, they call it preloading. The reason they put all that dirt in there is so it can consolidate the bad soil below it, then they're going to take some of that dirt off and build the school they want to handle that weight. That's all part of it. You got, the soil is going to reach an equilibrium at some point. If you have a bad subsoil, the surface is going to fall apart.
What are we going to do before we spend this $125,000 overlaying the street to make sure that it don't happen in a year from now?
Yeah.
That's what I need to know.
Well, when I met with them, when I told them, what I've done out there strictly is to take the 2 inches asphalt that's there off, put 2 inches back on. Where the spots are bad, there's some extra money spent to excavate down the firm soil, and fix that patch or hole with asphalt. Years ago, I bet it was 6 years ago, one of the street overlay projects, I'd done an elaborate layout and design of where spots were bad. And I bid it to dig that patch out 8 inches deep, put in limestone, compact that limestone, and then put the 2 inches asphalt. Those prices were through the roof. Those contractors say it takes too much time and effort to do that. They can do it quicker by coming in while they're there with asphalt, dig it out to firm soil and patch it. So that's what I've done now. If you want to redo that street, go back to a complete design and get a geotechnical company in here, and I don't know how many you do down that road, punch holes. See what's down there and tell you how to come back and do it. Take the asphalt off and soil cement back down 12 inches, 18 inches with a certain percent lime or soil cement. Dry that soil up and consolidate it and put your asphalt on it to hold it up.
You're talking a huge cost to redo the whole street.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you have a linear subdivision.
It needs to be done from the beginning.
Yep.
But now that you're a residential street, you're not going to have all the construction down there. It's over. You're back down to minimum loads now. You have a residential street all day long and a school bus once a day and a garbage truck twice a week.
Well, you have a one street subdivision in three phases. And now we're looking at the third phase. So we go in and fix the third phase, all your traffic's got to go over first and second phase before it gets to third phase. So during the construction of the third phase, you've got the same traffic on all three phases of the road.
Look at the first phase now. There's a little bit of alligator cracking going on, and you got to keep the water, the moisture out from the roadbed. That's what makes it fail.
Okay, so, I mean, I just need you guys' guidance. I mean, those are the numbers that we have. We can go with two streets, maybe Gwynn and Orleans.
How much we have in the budget?
160. Oh. Yeah, 160. Was it 165 or 160?
It was 160 even.
Yeah, 160. So it'd be a little bit more than another $100,000 if we want to do it again and just do an adjustment and get all of them done. Or we can just go with what we have budgeted. What Shane and I talked about at the budget time was we budgeted for a price of asphalt. Unfortunately, we got to take 2 inches off of a couple of these streets and cold plane them, so the cost went up. We just priced it based on asphalt and how much we were going to use. So,
to answer my question, if we do all in quarters for $125,000, are we going to take the precautions to make sure it don't happen in a year?
Well, no.
Well, I think we need to do something.
Because then we're going to have to rebuild the whole road, like Roy said.
I'm just talking about the back section that we plan on spending $125,000 on. I don't want to spend $125,000 and a year from now we're back in the same boat again. I understand the commotion.
We'll go a lot more here. Let's analyze what you just said versus what you started and what you're getting ready to do. What you started there was pasture land. It was grass
land. I get that.
They took the grass off and they did this work. They put all that load on it and it's falling apart.
Right,
so what's happened since then, you've had a street, it's been there 4 or 5 years, however long it's been. The load and the weight has been compacted with all that work. So the soil is better now
than it was when they started
day one. So it's not going to fall apart. I wouldn't think it'd fall apart in a year. It'll fall apart if some of those drainage basins are bad. It looks like in some front of those catch basins, it's been holding water. People have been driving through a water hole and just never got into the inlet to go into the drainage system.
Yes, going through the street.
Going through the street. So if the street's put back together and the water drains properly to the basins, get the water out one of the streets, it'll last fine. I've told this gentleman more than once, when I go down the front for all these quarters, everybody's got their yard up about that high in the street. And the water can't get off the street, runs down the edge of the street. If one of the homeowners along there is smart, he's dug a little ditch or trench, get it to an inlet box and it gets off the street. You want the water to get off the street and have a little swale ditch that carries it away to the drainage basin. The open side of Orleans Quarters, which is another development, had a 4-foot strip. It used to be a swale there to try to get the water off the street and carry the swale.
So the cost that you provided, that's just on material is what you're looking at? You're looking at what the cost is now?
No, that's the labor to take off and put on and install. It's not doing any soil testing. The way the spec's been set up, because all previous administrations, I'll just let y'all know now, I told them that just a few minutes ago, never put any testing in there. If you want testing in there, you can ask for it. It's extra, you can pay for it. If you want me to put testing in for the contractor to do it, I need to go change the spec accordingly for that to be done. There are large asphalt projects, DOTD and the rest, they do core samples ever so often to make sure you got the proper thickness. But again, explaining to them, it's very simple to know if you're getting your thickness. If you collect the tickets, and you can only put down so much asphalt, so many tons, and only goes so far. If you're collecting the tickets and watching, see, it's a trade-off. I had trouble before because if somebody of your organization or mine or anybody's going to be an inspector, you're paying an employee now to sit there and watch and inspect and track tickets and make sure they're doing their job. Less cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. When you're playing with a $100,000 budget, you're going to pay $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 for somebody to check tickets or inspect. At some point, when do you trust a contractor or not? You get a bad job, you can always call somebody in to come for it. See if I got my thickness, that's the one thing you're looking for. And if you talk about the mix, if the mix starts falling apart, you can court and take that to a lab and have somebody analyze it, break it down, and make sure you've got the right amount of gravel and sand and the binder, which is the asphalt tack that holds it together. You know, there's a whole bunch of tests that can be done to verify what you're looking for. But I'll tell you guys, if you call a lab then, you can start racking 5, 10, 12, 15, 20,000, depending on who the test you want to do. And my guys, if you need an inspector or your guys or anybody you hire, time is money to everybody. What are you going to pay somebody if you hire an employee and put an overhead and a markup and insurance and transportation? You know, that's cutting into your $160,000 budget.
We have to hire the lowest bidder.
Yeah. No, you got to hire the lowest contract bidder, professional services, me, an inspector, or somebody that does something else. You have a statement of qualification. You got the right to go hire another public works manager to sit out there and do it. Hire another policeman with red lights.
No, I'm talking about the contractor.
Contractor, you got to take the lowest bid.
That's right.
Right. So anyway, I mean, if we...
But if another alternative to what you're talking about, if y'all set a budget, you can set a base bid, which you think will be in your budget, then you can do alternate bids. You can add on and keep adding another street. If it's in your dollar budget, you can take that additive alternate and do it. Or you do the other way, bid them all, and have deductive alternates pulling streets off. But if you do additive or deductive alternates, you've got to take them in the order in which you've written them.
Put them in there.
In other words, if you want to deduct something from the job, you've got to deduct number one first. You can't go pick two or three. You've got to take the first one, then the second one, then the third one. You can do it either way, add on or deduct away, take away.
So we have, you know, we have a couple of choices. We can amend the budget and do the whole, all four streets. We can follow, you know, do Orleans Quarters and maybe sneak in Hebert Street under that 160 and stay within the budget.
The other two sections of Orleans, are there not any areas that need patching? It seems to me, driving down there, there's some areas that...
Even the first filing was starting to show.
Yeah, I mean, it's
all I mentioned. I mean, yeah. I see it every day. So
yeah, that's a possibility. We don't have any patching in here at all.
Hard hole and swelling.
No, what you've done in the past when the contractor's here, y'all have written and asked him, can you do this? And what would you charge me to do this? And this would be added on little pieces by change order, giving you some more money to do it.
Yeah. And we could always possibly do that.
I think
we'd have to amend the budget too.
If we're going to do one whole section,
right,
we need to take the other two sections and patch the areas that. where it's cracking or while they're here.
I'm good with that. The dollar figure came in, we're way, way under, so.
So Orleans, the back part of Orleans is the worst?
In my opinion, and Roy's opinion, the back part of Orleans needs the most attention.
Potholes in the back.
We ride there.
And that's 125. You could throw on Gwen, which is 37, which would put you right at the 160, but that would leave out Courtney, which is the older street, and Gwen, which is probably one of the older ones also. So, I mean, my suggestion is to do Orleans and Hebert, and we can leave it in the budget, unless, you know, you guys feel like we need to amend the budget and continue with our road overlays. I know Shane was adamant about following Courtney, because it was the oldest, Shane Andre. We have the money in the bank. If you guys want to amend the budget, that's not a problem. So we could always amend the budget, pull the money out of the bank.
Well, if they all need it, I think we ought to do it.
I mean, we can talk about it at the regular meeting. Just so we can make sure, I mean, next week.
No, we can do that.
So we can, you know, keep that in mind. We'll talk about it. We'll put it on the agenda for next week. How about that? And then if you guys have anything changes, we can talk about it between now and then. Just to quote Roy, budget year is in July, end of June. So we want to get it done as soon as we can. So we need to get it out for bid as soon as possible. So Monday we need to finalize it and move forward. So anything else on that? Thanks, Roy, for all that great news.
Why we pay
it. All right. Next up, planning and zoning minutes from January 23rd. They're in your package. Yep. Do I have any questions or we have any changes on that? Next up, discuss variance requests for 820 West Main, minimum lot size. That was at the planning and zoning meeting on January 23rd. It's a request by Mr. Lawrence Bynum for 820 West Main for non-compliance. Decreased lot size from 9,600 to 9,216 square feet. I think he wants to move a house onto that piece of property. Looks like it passed out of planning and zoning.
Yes, it's within 400 square feet of required 9,600.
Right. You want to, are you Mr. Bynum?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you want to come on up and just kind of tell us what you're going to do with that piece of property? You can just get to the microphone right there.
I want to put a building on there, 30 by 53, you know, say. The minimum, you know, offset, you know, say, side and rear. And then, you know, the front, whatever, you know. And
you can move the house over by the church?
Mm-hmm.
And you can move that one to back there?
Yes, sir.
And you're going to rent it out? Someone's going to live in it, right? It's not your storage?
Yeah, you know, from the time. And then, you know, maybe later on I might, you know, move in or whatever. Yeah. You
but know. It's not going to be a storage facility or anything. It's going to be a residence.
Yeah, residence. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you'll have the front facing West Main, like the front is facing?
They're going to be facing. It won't go in there just right like that. It'll be facing. The front will be facing, but that'll be
West?
Back there, you know, and then, you know.
So you're going to make it into a single dwelling instead of like it is a duplex?
I'm going to leave it like it is. I'm going to just fix it up and leave it like it is, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, anybody have any questions on that?
No, it meets the side yard requirements.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments?
You know, 10 and 10 and, you know, whatever the front, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will vote on that Monday night, next
okay.
Monday.
Okay.
So we'll vote on that on Monday night.
Okay, appreciate
all right.
It.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Finance Committee, you have a copy of the bills in your packages. I didn't see anything really out of line. If you have any questions. Next up, discuss adjustments within capital expenditures. We put $40,000 for levee top lighting in capital expenditures, and we only put $20,000 for cameras. Our first bid on cameras came back at $60,000. We just received another one for $43,300. I only had one bid so far for lighting on the levee top. To put a solar light up there, it's $11,000 per pole, and $3,000 per pole if you run underground utilities. So my suggestion, what I'd like to do, is to go ahead and move some money that we were going to spend on the Brule levee top lights over to the camera side and spend the money on the camera. Go ahead and get the cameras done. Then maybe next budget year we can look at doing some levee top lighting. I talked to the mayor of Addis, and he wants to do some in Addis. And maybe we can talk to Pee Wee, and we could do it jointly to get a better price on the levee top lighting. So that's kind of what I want to do. It's all in capital expenditures. It's just moving some of the money from the levee top lighting over to the cameras. And we'll get one more bid on cameras to make sure we're good to go. I'm waiting on a call today from Jay LeBlanc. He's supposed to give me another bid. So. Was it 19 total cameras?
At 7 locations.
Yeah, at 7 different spots.
That's installed?
Yeah. And that's with that's wireless running back and forth. So the first bid we came in, we had to put $50 a pole per month. There was a monthly charge by Cox for internet service and all that, and this one's not like this. This one's wireless to different access points, and it'll feed all back to the police station. So if you guys are okay with that, we'll go ahead and spend that money on cameras instead of levee top lighting, since it's so extremely expensive up top. Take another.
Cameras look
43,399 is the lowest bid we had so far. The first bid we got from that New Orleans company was over 60, and then we're gonna get one more from Jay LeBlanc. I'll present all three of those whenever we decide to move on.
Is there a service agreement with that as well, or no? Or is that just the installation?
I think that's just the installation. Let me look. installation, initial software. Nope, no service agreement. I don't see one on there. We could add that in there if we had to, and see what it costs us to do that.
Can we get another estimate before next Monday?
I hope to. Yeah, we should be able to. To your point, Tom, believe it or not, we asked that question. They don't have a whole lot of vandalism on their cameras, even in bad parts of town.
Okay.
Just telling you what he told me. And the guys in New Orleans told us the same thing. All their cameras, the ones in New Orleans are the ones that you see if you ever go to New Orleans, they have the flashing lights on them to let everybody know, hey, I'm a camera, I'm watching you. And he said they, you know, you would think that criminals would shoot them out when they're trying to, and he said they don't have that problem. He said not even paintball guns, they would assume paintball guns, and they just don't have those problems. So. Well, we'll see, I don't know.
So the monitors are going to be in the police?
Police station, yep. And it will not be monitored 24/7, it'll mainly be just used after the fact.
Just look, yeah. If something happens, then we look and see if we've got anything on.
And any software agreements associated with that either? Or you'll have to pay something, you know?
We got initial software configuration.
Software.
I
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this one's all here. It's 4 months. Let's see. This is the cheapest one now, and the $60,000 one is just out.
Right. Right.
This is for 4 weeks of storage too, so it'll stay on there for a month.
Okay.
They're both high definition cameras.
Mm-hmm. You can zoom in really tight.
Is illumination sufficient at each place we want to place it? Has that a study been done for that?
They said street lights are they suffice as far as what they need. The lens can pick up at night with street lights, colors, and all that stuff. One thing we do have to do, we have to get with Energy. We're going to have to enter into an agreement with Energy so we can use their poles to mount them. Shane's going to set up a meeting with the Energy rep so he can come over and tell us. Yeah. There may be some additional cost on running power to the poles because they put that on us. So we'll see what that cost is, but that should be minimal. Yeah, I think so too.
19 cameras?
Yeah, well, you know, like one point will have four, right? You know what I'm saying?
Different directions.
Anyway, we'll do that. I'll try to get that bid for next Monday night. If you guys are good with that, we'll use that money and spend it that way instead of on the levee top lighting. Maybe we can make another move on that levee top lighting next year. Okay. Yep, personnel committee? I don't have anything. Recreation? I don't think we have anything. Police committee? Nothing. Governmental affairs, review landmark and heritage meeting minutes from January 21st, 2019. Have anything on that?
Recommendation on the landmark site.
Okay, you want to go ahead and discuss that now?
Yes, there's pictures, yeah. This was Eureka Central School, was a public school on East Main Street, approximately across from where the present-day post office is located. And it served students in grades 1 through 10 from 1888 to 1911 when the school was built on River Road. African-American men in the community asked for that building to be moved to Loopville campus because the school that was there had been destroyed by a storm, and the school board told them they could have it if they moved it. So it took about approximately 2 years to get all the permission to move that building to Loopville. That's how it looked at first on the Loopville campus. Stayed on that campus till the 1950s. Got another picture. And I'm not sure. I think it's that one in the back because the school from Addis was also moved to the Loopville campus in the 1940s. And so when the school was no longer being used, when they made improvements to the Loopville building, and they auctioned off the Eureka and the school building, and the Eureka building was purchased by Wilma and Bernadette Michelle. And they stored the lumber for a few years and then built their house on Arlene Street. And as the building was being demolished, they found boards that had the words Morley Lumber Company. So the original building was made with cypress from the Morley Lumber Mill. So that's in that house on Arlene Street today. And so the property today has several homes on it, and we have permission from Chip Purnell to put the sign where his property line meets the house in the middle of the block, because when the school was on that block in Brule, it was just by itself there. There were no homes at the time. So we can ask you next week to vote on approving that for a former landmark site in Brule, because it has a rich history.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else on that? All right, other matters, I don't have any. Mayor's report, I attended the business report leadership breakfast with the two other mayors and the parish president. And Jim Bernhardt was supposed to speak on financing the new bridge, if you will. Mm. He was out of the country and he was trapped. The director of the Chamber of Commerce, NAPS, spoke on behalf of him, and it was all about the bridge. How much support of the new bridge. They seem to think that things are rolling in a positive direction as opposed to being stagnant. So take it for what it's worth. It was all about the bridge is what they talked about at the leadership breakfast. On March the 1st is the doc. What do you call that day? It's Dr. Seuss reading
at the schools.
Read Across America. So if the schools call you to go read, I suggest you go read. It's really fun and nerve wracking all at the same time because Dr. Seuss has some big words in some of those books. So it's pretty fun to go if you get a chance to go. Our police chief, Jonathan LaFoe, is a celebrity waiter to raise money for cancer, and he's doing a heck of a job, so give him some more money so he'll beat all the other celebrity waiters. Thanks for doing that, Chief. It's a lot of fun, and we appreciate you doing that. So that's all I have on the mayor's report. Remarks of personal privilege? Anybody in the audience have anything?
I have anybody out there?
No? Anybody?
Okay, we're going to apply for Keep Louisiana Beautiful grant to get some more trash receptacles on the levee. So we'll be working on that. And also, Chief, I want to thank Danielle
in your office. Thank the people that work behind the scenes. There was a funeral at St. John the Baptist on Friday, and a friendly little dog was running around. And guys in the veteran honor guard were concerned because they didn't want to go in church and have the dog go in the river road. So Danielle did find somebody in the animal control office, and they came to rescue the dog. Miracle. So I wanted to thank her because she stayed on the phone a while with that. So behind the scenes needs some recognition. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
We need to get the guy on the call. I need to keep pumping this. Go back to pumping. But when you come out of it, somebody's going to get killed.
Hey, anybody else? All right. Announcements. I guess the Addis Mardi Gras is a little bit ahead. Addis Mardi Gras parade will be Saturday, February 23rd at 11 a.m. So it used to be on a Sunday, and they moved it to a Saturday. So we're trying to let everybody know it's on Saturday this year. With that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move.
Approved by Mr. Daigle, second by Mr. Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it.